and I just learned the best spell of all.
What's that?
Sleep.
Welcome back to My Alchemical Bromance. This is Eric Arneson, and I am here today with Teresa Pridemore, who is the creator of the Portland Tarot and the Sovereign Oracle deck, and also the owner of brand strategy company Sovereign Spirit. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Eric. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I love talking to people who have created tarot decks, and I love talking to weird people who live in Portland. So
I'm definitely one of those.
So I want to tell you, like, the Portland Tarot, like, I love this deck. It's just the major arcana, but it's these great, yeah, like, photo collage things, and then also those four, like, or three or four, like, bonus bridge cards, which I yeah, really, really love. But
thank
the
you.
Way I got this deck was kind of interesting, and it was this time of year, probably in 2013 or 2014. I was doing tarot readings every week at this little wine bar on Clinton Street called, I'm totally blanking on the name. The Press Club. It was a Friday afternoon. I think I was like just setting up, and I saw a friend of mine, Whitney Johnson, pull up.
Whitney.
So you know Whitney. Okay, so
I know Whitney, yeah.
She was pulling up in her car, and I was like, what's Whitney doing here? You know, because she just had her kid. Like Lila was strapped into the seat, into like the baby seat in the back or something like that. I'm probably mixing up the dates totally, because Lila was probably like one or two at the time. But so I went outside to talk to her because she couldn't come inside with the baby. And she's like, Eric, you know, I got you this birthday gift. And I feel like what she said to me is like, this is a friend of mine that you met at some point. And I was like, cool. Just sort of like, I totally remember who that is. But I don't know that we ever actually met. But but I've really enjoyed this deck and the artwork on it and stuff. And I always look through here thinking to myself, I wonder if I know that person. I wonder if I know that person. So who knows if I do?
We may have met, man. It's been
possible.
It's crazy. I feel like I am so social in this town in a way that I don't think I've ever quite been. And so I feel like I've met amazing people, and then I see them again like 5 years later, and I think, you're very familiar, but
yeah,
I'm sure we had an amazing conversation, but my brain only has so much storage space.
It's very possible. You know, it was during that period of time, I was being introduced to so many people all the time that it was just really, really hard to keep track of them all.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a funny thing. You know, it's like I always feel so sad when I do forget someone, and then my brain is rebooted, and I'm, you know, slowly remembering when we met and the conversation we had. And I think, wow, like, really? I couldn't remember that. And like, well, no, you've probably met 300 people since then. It's not that surprising, I guess.
Yeah.
But I always wish I could. I wish I could, because I wouldn't be surprised if we have met. But I don't know for sure that we have either. So, and I'm so excited to hear you like the deck. That is wonderful for me to hear.
Well, we won't forget this time.
We okay. won't. Right. This is an unforgettable time.
This is it. It'll be recorded for posterity. You know, 20 years from now, somebody will be like, did you ever meet Eric Arneson? And you'd be like, no.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm so happy to hear that you enjoyed the artwork, and that Whitney gave that to you is so wonderful. Adore her. She's so rad.
Yeah, I haven't seen her in quite a while, actually. She lived in my basement
for a
few months.
Oh yeah. She's a busy lady. Mm-hmm. You were mentioning the artwork. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about how I created it, because people always ask me how did you make the artwork? And I'm sure that some people are just listening, and so you could check it out online to take a look, but at the portlandtarot.com, that's where the deck is listed. But I photographed thousands of objects. The people in the cards I shot in my studio. I didn't shoot them. I photographed them in my studio under controlled lighting. Uh-huh. I always hate it when I say that because I am like that does seem to have multiple connotations. And then digitally composited them together, all the elements, and then did a bunch of, you know, digital painting and color adjustment to get everything feeling like it was in the same scene together. So it didn't look mm-hmm. quite as collaged, you know?
Yeah.
So that was what I did there. And everyone I invited to be on a card had some kind of tie to the theme of the card, you know? So they were very intentionally chosen, you know, various, they had various connections. Sometimes it was, you know, directly to the energy of the card or something related to the traditional imagery of the card. It was really fun to explore that with each person. Everyone had some measure of co-creation with the individual card that they were in. And yeah, it was really fun process. And I wish I had more time to finish the minors. I've only done a few cards in the minors so far. Uh-huh. And I basically need to take off a year to do it. You know, it's so much work.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you thought of just putting out a set of like pips.
Just a kind of a plain pip.
Yeah.
Only reason I haven't is because I do have a vision for all the
miners. I guess I could see that.
I should share with you one of the miners I made like a couple of years ago that it created a lifelong friendship.
Actually. Oh really?
An experience that created a lifelong friendship. It ended up getting me becoming a co-producer on a live show in Portland for a little while.
Really?
Because of one card that I created with my friend, uh-huh. now my friend. And, but I can show you, I don't know if anyone can see the visuals on this, but I can show you in a bit.
And, you can show me, and if you'd like send me a picture of it, I could stick it in the show notes or something.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. So I have created some miners and my intention is to fully finish it. It just might take me, you know, 5 years to get totally around understand. To it.
Well, I mean, the artwork on these, like it's incredible collage work. I just want you
Thank
to know
you.
That. Like
Thank
I've
you.
Seen a lot of collage decks and a lot of times they just really look like they look kind of hacky, right? But the amount of work that you
Well, sometimes they're like soul collage, you know, like someone took the time and had fun doing these collage decks and then they're like, "Oh, might as well make a deck out of this, you know, right, this was really important and meaningful to me." And you know, and plus the fact that I did it digitally, mm-hmm. it gives me the ability to manipulate things in a way. I mean, Photoshop has always been my preferred tool.
Yeah.
And I've loved it, you know, since early on. So it's funny that like, if I were to try to sit down and paint a deck, I do like painting, but I would have a lot harder time than if I were to be able to work digitally. Mm-hmm. That's just my own of genius, you know, as far as illustration work goes.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And so let's see the pip that you were talking about. Do you have it?
Oh, let's see if I can find it. Here, we'll have to. Oh, I actually might have. I'm trying to see if I have a print handy that I can just grab. I'll find it on my computer. Yeah. So while we're talking, but you know, another thing about this deck that I hear people say all the time is it's more positive or less scary than other decks, and that was intentional.
Yeah.
Like I really wanted people to feel like it was accessible to them if they had not done tarot before because they were a little freaked out by the devil card or the death card.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to take the edge off of the tarot. Tarot definitely has a deepness. It's not all about light. It's about looking at shadow too. But I deliberately wanted it to feel a little more colorful and inviting so that people could use it for introspection and not be turned off by the dark.
I want to
aspects.
Talk to you about the death card then.
yeah
because in the background you have the Vista Bridge, which is you know, like Portland's suicide bridge. Like
if you're a Portlander,
like if there's a scary thing in Portland, if there's a symbol in Portland that is like the most deadly, it's either being a pedestrian on Powell or the Vista Bridge. And
which not anymore because they have the chain link fence up to keep people from
I've heard
jumping
that it
now,
hasn't really but... helped has it like
I actually don't know. I haven't been keeping tabs on that.
I think I was even really aware of the Vista Bridge until I got your deck. And I saw that Oh, and I think you mentioned it in the Little White Book. Or actually, I guess yours is a medium sized book.
Yeah, I do actually call that out.
So I looked it up, and I think that right after they put up the chain link fence, somebody climbed around the chain link fence, went out there, and committed suicide.
Really?
So,
oh man, they were really committed to that. Well, it's not that it's something that I'm making light of. I just feel like that's kind of it definitely is part of our vocabulary. It's like really thinking about, I mean, part of life, you know, thinking about death. And, you know, in fact, I was working on, you know, trying to figure out how the bridges were metaphors for different things in the deck. And in the beginning of the project, I was considering collaborating with other artists to make some of the cards. And I started to go down that path with a friend named Sam, who's an incredible artist and illustrator. And he was coming up with a concept and we were talking it through, and he's the one who brought up the Vista Bridge, I think. And I thought, oh, that's brilliant. And then I ended up using some of the concepts that he had pitched, I ended up doing the artwork. I don't remember why, but we chose not to work on it together. And, but I did incorporate his idea into it. You know, it was really, I was like, and I got, there were a lot of moments like that where people were like, oh, what about this? Especially my co-writer, Jamie, who she found me on the internet from my failed Kickstarter, the first Kickstarter I did to try to fund the deck. And we hit it off and she jumped in to help me co-write the book. And 3 days after talking to her on the telephone for the first time, she calls me out of the blue. And she says, oh my God, I've got this idea. You need to do a weird card. She's in Florida. She doesn't even live in Portland. And she came up with the idea for the weird card.
With the elephant on St. John's Bridge. And a magic door.
So that one's me. I'm in that
you?
Card.
That's
that was
cool
mine. Yeah, that's my pink hair, back when I had pink hair constantly. And it's very, if you're a Doctor Who fan, you'll feel that it's a little Whovian. Without being directly, like, it's not really a TARDIS, but kind of is like a TARDIS.
I guess when I saw it...
That's my dorkish, my little dorkish.
Well, I appreciate the Doctor Who reference. But my thought when I saw this was, like, the St. John's Bridge was, I think, designed by the same architect that made the Golden Gate Bridge. And
I
saw that and I was like, oh, the gate is like a reference there. It's like an in reference to Portlanders or something. But that's great.
That's definitely, there's a lot of little like crossover things like whenever you kind of.
So like, you know, and here's one thing that I really appreciate about the way that you put this artwork together is like, you call it the Portland Tarot. And I think for people outside of Portland, like, you know, we have this reputation for just being full of weird people. And you've collected really interesting people. And so you'd almost think like, oh, it's just a deck full of weird people. But the background, and even sometimes the foreground, is filled with so much imagery of like Portland and the Pacific Northwest and where we are. You know, like you've got the Multnomah Falls and the moon, which I didn't even recognize at first until I saw the little there's bridges everywhere. It's a bridge deck.
Well, you know, you think about, I came up with the tagline. It's like the bridge to the divine, right? This tarot can be that, just the communication, the conduit. Not everyone sees tarot that way, of course. And I think it's perfectly valid to think of tarot as just a way to self-reflect and get out of your own head. But, you know, the way I tend to think about it for myself is as a bridge to the divine, you know? So it was really fun to explore that. And the people... There are weird, you know, some weird people in this deck, but there are perfectly normal people in this deck too.
Right.
You know, relatively speaking, I mean, they're friends with me, so I can't attest entirely to their normalness because I'm pretty weird, but it is definitely, you know, it's people who are just the people of Portland, you know, doing the various awesome things they do. And I think that people think of us as being really weird, and I think the really weird thing about Portlanders, which isn't that weird at all, is that we, in general, appreciate self-expression and everyone having a voice and you know, diversity to a point, right? Obviously, there's a history of a lack of diversity in Portland that is long being is long overdue getting dealt with, you know, and there's going to have to be more welcoming inclusion for that to shift and change. But aside from that, I think creatively inclusive, we're certainly known for being more accepting of, you know, people that are, you know, LGBTQIA, you know, the whole gamut. Yeah, there's all of it, you know, it's getting longer and longer because there's so much diversity in how, you know, gender and sexuality are represented. So, you know, that's one thing, at least we're relatively diverse.
I feel like we're also, you know, I mean, for me, like I grew up in rural Oregon and I spent a lot of time living in Southern Oregon. And as somebody who is not part of a mainstream religion, you know, like I'm pagan and, to hide that all the time, when you come to Portland, like nobody cares. Nobody really cares.
I know. They don't give a flip.
Just be as pagan as you want.
I know. That's so nice. I grew up in Mississippi.
Oh, it's probably even better for you.
It is. I am among my people. I remember, you know, always going kind of overboard to stand out in Mississippi because I'm like, oh, right, you don't like me? Well, I'm going to be in your face about it, you know? And I mean, it's funny because I really wasn't that weird by Portland standards, but there I was very odd. People always give me a little side eye and go, you're a little weird. I'm like, yep, I wore it like a badge.
That's a good point. You know? I think that's kind of how it was for me too. Like I felt like I probably went a little overboard sometimes just to make my point or whatever, but you come to Portland and all of a sudden it's like, there's no way I'm going to be as weird as these other people. I just can't do it.
I know. And it's funny. Eventually I started to kind of get known in my job for being a weird one. Still, I still managed to find a way, but after a while, I don't know. I relaxed about it. I am weird compared to some people even that I know, but I'm a rally point for misfits. I gather up the misfits and I say, come over here and you're going to have fun and not have to worry about putting on airs. You can just be yourself, you know? And I think that comes from having grown up somewhere where I felt like an outsider. Like,
grab a saxophone. I'll put you on a tarot card.
There you go. Exactly. That's exactly right. And there are some people I've met since after that. They're like, I wish I'd met you before so I could have been in your tarot deck.
How did you, I want to hear some origin story stuff. So when did you discover tarot? How old were you?
I feel like I started to really get into tarot not way too long ago. It was probably, I'm trying to think, 2006 or 10 or 9. I can't remember. It wasn't really wildly long ago that I really, I pulled out some tarot decks and I was using them a lot. And I went through this 6 months where I was obsessed. I couldn't get enough. I was like getting books from the library and I was doing practice readings on myself and other people anytime I got a chance. And then I was talking to my grandmother about it. And I found out that she used to do tarot readings. And she was known by her neighbors for the person to come to if you had a question, and she would read from playing cards.
Oh, right.
So she also had tarot cards, but she mostly read from playing cards.
Did she use, I mean, I know that there are different methods for reading from tarot cards. I don't know how much you got from her, but there are methods for reading from tarot cards that, that in the South are sort of like more kind of descended from like the voodoo tradition in some way.
I don't know. I don't think she got, she says that when she lived in Germany, my grandfather was stationed in Germany a while. And then later my father was stationed in Germany. That's where I was born. So she learned from a neighbor in Germany when she was living on the army base, a German woman taught her how to to read from playing cards.
Oh, so it might even be related to Lenormand.
She was raising my mom. It might be. Yeah. And so she would do that, and she was intuitive, or psychic or whatever. So she would, she said that she would read for people, and everything she said she saw would happen within two weeks.
So you kind of got the weird gene, didn't you?
I did. I guess so. And I was really surprised by that. And, cause we never talked about it before. It was news to me. So I thought, okay, so this maybe is passed down a little bit, you know, in our lineage. And I'd always been empathic. And up until that point, I had been studying with my my teacher and friend, Liliana Barzola of Lotus Lantern Healing Arts. I have a lifetime in therapy because I have a traumatic upbringing, in my childhood. And so, it was a gift in a weird, mm-hmm. weird kind of way, right? It gave me a lot of understanding and gifts that I have now because I've been through that. So I don't have any regrets about it, but when I went to college, I would seek out counseling. I just knew that I had more to work through internally than your average bear. So I just mm-hmm. did it.
Well, that's responsible of you. I feel like a lot of people who.
Yeah. Cause I wanted to be happy. You know, I was like, all odds, I'm going to be happy. I certainly am not predisposed toward that with the family I have, but I'm definitely going to get mm-hmm. support. And so I did that for a long time. There's a point at which therapy stopped really working for me. And that's when I found Liliana and I learned energy work, energy healing, but mostly energy work mm-hmm. for myself, so grounding, running my energy, clearing my field. I started to notice that I had other people's energy in my field all the time. And I never really realized that before. It gave me a language for things that I hadn't understood right. before. So at that point, when I came into tarot, I felt like I came in with a very, a really healthy mindset mm-hmm. around it. I learned things like not taking, not getting in other people's energy field, not reading without permission. Although in the beginning I was reading about everything time. But then I realized I'm getting a little obsessive. I need to back off. But learning like boundaries around reading for other people versus reading for myself and what's healthy and how to engage the cards in a way that is like about creating about being neutral and not being biased and all those things. Like, how do you engage with these tools in an unbiased way? So I had a lot of tools coming in, and she was getting married, and we had a bridal party for a weekend retreat at this lovely place called Mon Mares. It's in Monmouth, or was in Monmouth. I don't know if it's still Mon Mares now, but, and I was doing like up all night doing readings for everyone at her mm-hmm. bridal shower. And everyone wanted a reading, and she was watching me. She's a psychic. So she's watching me read. And I was just riffing on the cards and what I thought they meant. And then I would just clam up and be like, oh, I'm not sure. I'd go into my logical mind and I would be trying to sort out information. And she said, stop doing that. When you just talk, you're right.
Interesting.
So having like a psychic watch uh-huh. me and see what my flow was, helped me trust my flow. So whenever I'm a better conduit if I just let whatever's coming in come out of my mouth and not overanalyze it. So that was another like stepping stone in developing my gift. It was within the first year of mm-hmm. me reading to have her say, actually, I'm reading the same thing you're reading. And when you stop, that's when you lose it. But when you keep going, that then you're right. And having that reflection was really helpful. So from there, I started doing more readings, and I got invited a couple years in a row to the World Domination Summit to do readings in a booth. Like I had in my booth, and I did readings for all these, bloggers and change makers, 50 in a day or 50 in a weekend. And it was great because I got to really see like, oh, it really is different. I was using my Portland Tarot deck. It's 22 mm-hmm. cards, and to have 50 people come through and some of them get very similar cards, but I was getting a very different reading for mm-hmm. each one. It showed me that the mic was on.
Yeah. so times when I do, I haven't actually read for other people with your deck, but I have an idea about that I want to get to in a second. But a lot of times when I do readings for a lot of people, the same card will come up in over and over throughout the evening, or the same two cards or something. And I haven't sat down and figured out if it's just me noticing a particular card, or if it's making it like confirmation bias, or if it actually shows up more often. But given since I usually do three card readings, if the same card keeps showing up, even if it's like across decks, that's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think if you notice it, then it means something. Right. If that's you don't true. Notice it, okay, it doesn't.
Okay. Yeah, you know what I mean? I do know what you mean.
You know, like that's my feeling.
I really need
on
to start recording it then. I really need to start being like at the end of the night being like, all right, tonight's card was like the Queen of Swords or whatever, and just try to figure out what that means. But
It's just about trusting yourself. That's something I learned from Liliana is the more playful we are about it. She had this great class she used to teach called a psychic kindergarten. That's where I learned all my energy tools. And that was the gist. You know, when you start to get serious about it and intense, that's when it stops working. Yeah. But when you go lightly and you just trust things that come up, then your intuition you're giving your intuitive self permission to come out and play. It's like, oh, okay, you're trusting me, so I'll give you more information. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not putting me in a box, so I'll give you more information. But when it's heavy or intense or you're trying too hard, it doesn't work as well. It works better when we're like, I don't know, that could be right, that could be wrong, I'm not sure.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean?
Like, yeah, that...
you just, there's no energy. There's no energy on it.
So how, at what point, like there's in your major arcana here, like there's a, you know, there's symbolism that's sort of like old classic tarot symbolism. And it's kind of mixed with stuff that mm-hmm. is, you know, maybe either your own take mm-hmm. on the cards or stuff that you were inspired by mm-hmm. while you're doing the deck. But like, how much of the major arcana symbolism do you feel like you had to get really familiar with before you dove into making the cards?
Yeah, I definitely spent a long time getting very familiar with the traditional Rider-Waite symbolism, you know, and imagery. What Pamela Coleman Smith, is that the original artist?
Yeah, name? Yeah, from the Rider-Waite Smith deck. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would vary on the theme when I would get a download that something needed to be different or I'm trying to think. I was deliberately subversive in some of them. You know, like the Hanged Man is mm-hmm. now the Hanged Woman.
Or the and that's what is the House of the Seekers at card number
four. Or the High Priestess.
Yeah, I really like that one.
Yeah, instead of a Hierophant. Yeah. Thank you. That was, I mean, all of these have, like, I could go on and on. They all have a fun story in how they were made. Like the guy, Dave Markowitz, he's an intuitive healer in Portland. And
is he the House of the Seeker one?
It was funny. We were talking. Yeah. We were talking about, I said, I think I want to do a kind of a Carl Sagan theme. I mean, I know that Carl Sagan wasn't technically spiritual, but he had the sense of wonder about him, you know, that I feel makes him probably, he wasn't pushing away people who were spiritual in the way he talked about the universe. And he said, I love that idea. We were both Star Trek geeks and we were talking about that, uh-huh. we're, you know, like talking about science fiction and science. And he's like, yes, I would love to do Carl Sagan. And then the moment he and I got off our talk, he went on Facebook and there was an image of Carl Sagan with a quote that very much fit the theme of the card we uh-huh. were discussing. And in the outfit that we were talking about
that's
him wearing
awesome.
That showed up in his Facebook feed, like right after he got off the phone, he sent it to me. He's like, look, this is confirmation like that we're on the right
you
track.
You gotta pay attention to synchronicity, you know? Right? When synchronicity happens, you know, you're doing something right or something is working.
Yeah. And there was something through the whole project. That's why I feel like this has a life of its own. And that's my theory about deck projects mm-hmm. in general. You know, when people get a little tap on the shoulder to make a tarot deck or an oracle deck, I feel like it's a living, breathing entity in the cosmos asking for expression in a specific mm-hmm. kind of way, you know, and I felt that very much with this. It was very guided. Every single thing I did opened up all these opportunities and synchronicities. And it was wild. Like the woman in the justice card. She's a friend of mine and I asked her to be in it for various reasons. One of them that I did not consciously ask her for, her last name is Balance.
What?
And she's in the justice card.
That's funny. I just had that card right on the top just now.
Oh, did you?
I really,
the knitting.
I love getting this card. I mean, you know, the Justice card in general is a delightful card to read for people because I always feel like there's such this like level of impersonality to it sometimes, you know, where you're coming across the cards.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a lot of the major arcana, you got to dig into like deep stuff. You know, they're not usually like really surface cards. And then you get to Justice and you're like, oh, this isn't about you. But this is a great card. And I love the little bird. Is that a stellar?
I know. That's another funny thing. Yeah. So I put the bird in there. I just felt like the bird wanted mm-hmm. to be there. I didn't really have a good reason for it. And then I did an art show with my first 10 pieces, and I invited Marie, the subject, to the art show. And she said, why did you put the blue jay there? And I said, you know, I said, I just had a feeling the blue jay needed to be there. And she says, I've been obsessed with blue jays for the last week. I've been getting blue jay totems and everything. Like, it was wild. You know, like I said, things like that happened every single card. It was pretty mind-blowing. It was such a fun journey. And the way the deck all started was with the chariot card.
Which is the other...
I did...
stop you were doing holding that.
Okay, there you go. Like, it's just a thing that happens. I've gotten okay. used to it. For the chariot card, my friend Cynthia and I created this piece. It was my first... I just was creating a piece for the tarot art show at Splendor Emporium. Mm-hmm. They have a show every year. And I created it, and it was really funny. I went into it. I made a digital piece. I was trying to decide if I was going to paint or go digital. I'm going to do digital. And I put this piece in. I'm like, no one's going to care about it. Nobody cares about digital artwork. And I put the piece in. And then at the show, at the opening, I saw people hovering around the piece. And I was kind of blown away by that. I thought, I didn't think anyone would care. And what's funny is while I was working on this, Cynthia is looking over my shoulder while I'm making it. She says, you should create a Portland tarot deck. And I said, you're crazy. I don't have time for that. And then afterward, I went, you know what? I'm making a Portland tarot deck. So technically, it's this card is the inception. Cynthia's like the person who put the little bug in my ear, and I actually listened to her and did it. You know? Because as I really started to feel into it, I went, yeah, there are a lot of people that I would love to like bring their story in. And for me, what I like about making things, I like to bring a bunch of elements in together and see where they cross over and use that to focus the work. So for me, the challenge and fun was in who's going to be in the card and how does their story connect with the card? What location tells the story of the card? So I want it to be a Portland location. And what Portland themes can I weave into this card somehow? And then I want it to be a little bit everyday and a little bit magical. Yeah. I wanted it to feel grounded and everyday if I could, but not lose the magic, sure. You know? So I don't want it just be someone just eating their breakfast.
Well, I mean, you know, Portland is like a very big brunch city, which...
It's true. I'm going to have a brunch card in there for sure. In the minors, but having all of those. Yeah, exactly. But I felt like I wanted to have that. And then I wanted it to be image symbol rich so that if you come back to it, you know, do different readings with it, you might notice one element over another. So you have plenty to grab onto because I do love beautiful abstract decks, but if they don't have enough there for my brain to chew on, then I can't always really, I can't do an intuitive read very easily. Yeah. So that I was thinking practically as well about how I did the cards.
So so your second deck, the Sovereign Oracle deck.
Yeah. Oh, before we do that really quick, can I show, I just went to my website to show you the image of the card. It was this Seven of Cups card. And I'm just going to do a share screen here, but you can share it. So this was the piece that it helped me create a friendship with this gentleman, Leo Daedalus.
He kind of looks like a zombie David Bowie.
Yeah, he's David. This is all inspired by the man who fell to earth. This card. So I had met Leo. He had a show called Late Now for, I guess it came out to about 5 years total. At this point, he was about 3.5 years in. And he invited me, actually it wasn't him. It was someone else who was a mutual connection invited. He was looking for a tarot person to get on his show, his live show. And I was invited. He didn't even know me. I just came on and everything. He was like fly by the seat of his pants kind of thing. You know, it was really funny. He's got a very, he's very smart, sharp, and his work is very Dada. So he doesn't care if it's a little chaotic, right? So I come in and we did a little bit with the Portland Tarot on his show, and now we were connected. And then I'd been thinking about who I wanted to do a Seven of Cups, David Bowie inspired piece. And I reached out to him on Messenger and I said, hey, would you be interested in being in this card? And it's funny, I had two people in mind and I pulled cards on each one and I got the Ten of Cups with him. So I'm like, okay, I think this needs to happen. Yeah. I need to ask him. So he was busy at the time, but in between whatever he was doing, he would message me little bursts. And he said, I said, I want to do something based on The Man Who Fell to Earth. And he says, this is crazy that you're messaging me about this, because last month I've been obsessively thinking about what am I going to do art wise. I'm going to do an art project on The Man Who Fell to Earth with the scene that you described. And I'm like, well, this is it then. Come along. Let's do this. And so we did this amazing photo shoot, a series of photo shoots to create all of these virtual realities with the different themes of the seven.
And they're all him, aren't they?
And then, of course, they are all him. So this was actually, I don't know, 9 tarot cards in one, essentially. Yeah. And I went on an epic photo shoot of the city to get this night shot that you barely see in the background. Oh, yeah. So
how did you get there? It looked like you were up above the...
I was at Portland City Grill for that shot. Okay. I imagine. So this is like my post about like how that happened. Like this is the first, do you see the screen still?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay. So it shows me at my showing up at his show, and then all the inspiration. I was kind of like Blade Runner and Man Who Fell to Earth inspired. And these are all the photos I got of the city for that particular shoot. And it was amazing. Like I just kept getting these amazing shots that, of course, I only used one and it was in the background. It was pretty funny. And then we shot with his now wife, Anna, to do some of them. And these just crazy photo shoots with him dressed up as Indiana Jones and as Socrates and, you know, Adam Ant inspired, which was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, so we had a lot of fun, and then it culminated in this final piece. And then we became friends, but we realized we had a lot of creative simpatico. Mm-hmm. And for one season, I actually quit my business and went as a producer on his show, and we up-leveled the show massively and did a bunch of crazy stuff that was just so fun. And we ended up doing 3 shows, and we did it so well that it burned us both out. He quit his show and I went back to my business, you know, and we're still friends today. So it's pretty fun, but these are all the different pieces that we did where he's like the Pope, you know, is watching Tiger Hidden Dragon. Indiana Jones one is really fun. And it could just be cards on their own.
And I love
right?
this.
You know?
This is like, this is just one card. So much work.
I know. So I got a new camera just for this card because I really wanted to be able to blow all these pieces up high res. This is Ankeny Square recomposited to look like.
Right.
You know. So, anyways, it's just a fun. There was a fun little to wear tights that he will.
Yeah,
he,
I guess. I mean, at that level of effort going to every card, I could see 5 years.
That's why I know. Well, that's what happened is this project got me more comfortable with the tools. And now I'm even more meticulous. It'll kind of be a problem because then they won't match the original ones. But I had a concept. This one was very much a strong concept that I wanted to execute on. And, you know, so I had the idea in my head. And I'm a Bowie fan. If you can't tell, I'm wearing my Bowie shirt and my Black Star Bowie pin.
Black Star was an incredible album. There's so much.
Oh my God,
there's
so
much
good
stuff to dig into in that album. Like so many. Yeah, that's.
Yeah,
but let's talk. So okay, so now let's talk about.
Let's go to the Sovereign Oracle. Yeah.
I should. How do I stop viewing your screen?
That's my bad. Thank you.
So. First of all, let's talk about the difference between a tarot deck and an oracle deck. I'll let you talk about it because I honestly, I've been doing tarot for a zillion years, but I have never used an oracle deck.
Yeah. So an oracle deck is just conceptually looser usually, or has the option to really focus on a specific kind of collection of concepts. You know, for some people, oracle decks work better just because you can do a few things. Like some oracle decks, you draw and there's like a core theme and a beautiful piece of artwork. And then you go read it in the book to get more information. Some oracle decks, the text is on the card, you know, and it's meant to be easier for people. They don't feel like they have all the tradition in the way.
Okay, that
for
makes
them.
Sense.
They can just access it conceptually, really much more mm-hmm. simply. But you know, I feel like you can do the same thing with a tarot deck, and I design my tarot deck to work where you just draw a card and you open the book and you trust your intuition.
Still,
you know,
but I see, I get what you're saying. Like, there is still a lot of like symbolic and traditional yeah. baggage associated with tarot. Like, I think that that yes. does act as a barrier for entry for a lot of people, where they approach the tarot and suddenly right. there's like I have to remember the meanings of all these different cards, and you know what I mean, there's so much pressure right. to do it a right way. And then
yes,
and
exactly.
then the spiraling never stops. Like, you get into it, you start to get into like what the Golden Dawn did with the tarot, or like the Builders of the Diadem stuff yeah. or like the Kabbalah, or like there's so much crap shoved into right. tarot that people
and people think they yeah. need to yeah. really be an expert to engage with it. And so Oracle decks are like a lot more easy okay. access. And I hadn't really been drawn to create an Oracle deck before this one. It's designed for creative pursuits and business pursuits. And I, you know, have you ever seen the little angel cards? It's like just a word, and it's a little teeny tiny card, and it's just a word, and you can.
Yeah,
those are like a common little card that people give away. So this deck has.
Oh, they're little.
Oh, it's upside down. They're uh-huh. really tiny, and it's meant to be like used on okay. the go, like just to, you know, take it with you, use it at a coffee shop, use it at your desk, and there are three phrases on it, or statements. And one may jump out for you, maybe all three will, or maybe just mm-hmm. the word. I created this deck. I started out, I made 30 cards through moo.com, and I was handing them out at networking okay. events, because I have a specific way of doing my business. It's very spirit led, and people knew me for that. And I would use it as a conversation starter, and it had 30 core concepts that tend to come up in my work with people, with creative people, with, spirit-led entrepreneurs. And so people liked it so much. I'd been thinking I would make a deck out of it eventually, but people kept asking me, when are you going to make a deck? When are you going to make a deck? And so I made a 93 card deck with all these concepts okay. in there. And so, you know, like offer, story, spirit, connection, hunger, mentorship, things that, you know, co-creation, desire, things that come up in creative work. And the gist behind the deck is that I wanted something to help me get unstuck when I'm working on a project. What do I need to focus on next? And I wanted to use it with my clients as well, because creative people, we get stuck in the funniest mm-hmm. places.
Oh yeah.
You know, and some of them, like if you're spirit led, you know, I know business owners, like I'm waiting for the download. And so there might be a card in there that's like, actually stop waiting for the download, just go do something, mm-hmm. you know? So all the things that I see people struggling with on the spectrum of creating a business, the spectrum of creating artwork and writing. I did an Indiegogo for that early in the year. I think I've sold through half of the stock I got on that. I got 1,000 decks, and I'm probably almost halfway
through them. Well, congratulations. That's great.
And I know. Thank you. Yeah, it's been very popular.
I'll put a link to that in the show notes, so anybody who's listening can go click on that.
Please. But
yeah.
I'll draw a card really quick just to give a sense of it.
Maybe it'll help us finish the episode.
Yeah. So here's the card I drew.
Expression.
Your creative soul beckons you to create something tangible. Wait no longer. What you wish to make wishes you to make it. Like the Portland Tarot. Tell us the truth with beauty.
I love that, that line, what you wish to make wishes you to make it. I think that.
Yeah.
I mean, in my like, you know, I guess spiritual work, I really don't enjoy using the word spiritual very much.
I totally get it. It comes with baggage.
Yeah.
I think that we tend to put associations with it.
I associate it with the phrase spiritual but not religious. Espiener.
Yes. Yes.
which to me is like, it's like the laziest form of spirituality. But I'm not gonna rant. What I'm gonna say is, like, in my spiritual work, there is a lot of creation, right? I do a lot of ceremonial magic, and that involves a lot of like creating stuff, like you're creating amulets or talismans or putting together stuff. And I've been doing a lot more of it lately, which has involved a lot of craft, arts and crafts. But this concept of there's like this concept of like timing, where the time at which you do something, whether it's tied to like planetary days or whether it's tied to like an astrological conjunction or whatever, I can't remember the right word for it, but you know, there's always like this essence that time is when a thing is supposed to be created or supposed to happen. I like that line a lot. That's a good one.
Yeah, thank you. I tend to think of ideas, you know, that's how all these decks have come to me. I feel like I'm just a conduit for them. Sometimes I read stuff or see stuff and I think, yeah, that if it was just about me, it wouldn't have happened. You know, kind of talking about not being a genius, but being with genius.
Oh, and, totally. I mean, it goes back to what genius originally meant. You know, I mean, it was a guiding spirit. It wasn't. Yeah. That's cool. I like that.
That's the way I feel about these projects. That's why all the synchronicity happens. It's outside of me. I just have to show up and do the work and let the next thing happen and the next thing. And I think that's, you know, overall, like my big message to creative people and you know, entrepreneurs and business owners is just take a step and the next step, align to action. And then it doesn't matter how big it is. You translate it from one moment to the next and you let all the co-creative forces come into your world to bring it to fruition. And you don't have to know how it's going to come together. It just will if you show up for it, you know? So I guess that's a good overarching theme for today's discussion.
Okay. So all this ties. So the Sovereign Oracle itself, like it ties into the Sovereign Spirit, right? It ties into the brand strategy company.
I give these as gifts to my new clients for sure. You know, and it's a nice tool I can sell. If someone's not going to work with me, at the very least, I can give them a tool to work with. People share with me all the time that they use it for a daily card draw to kind of set the energy for the day. And I've heard people tell me it helps them get unstuck. And that's kind of my, if I had like one mission is just to like get people to creatively express themselves and not put so much in the way of that. So it's part of my business's mission, honestly. Like as a brand strategist, really what I'm doing is helping people get clear on what their creative now go out there and be seen for it so that we can hire you, you know? And that's the hard part for people is being visible because we have all kinds of baggage as empaths and creators around that that's societally embedded in us. It's, you know, maybe past lives. So trying to break through all of that, it's the deeper work. It's not just about creating a brand. It's really about going inward and figuring out what is inside of you that needs to be expressed on the outside so people can be drawn to you. And that's the core work that I do with people. So there's a huge healing component to it, a mentorship component. It's not really, I used to do the things for people. And now I guide people on how to create something that's cohesive and is a business that they feel fully expressed in. And then how do they communicate that with their ideal clients? That's what I do a lot of. So I use this card, this deck as a tool for supporting them.
I like that message. That's a good, I mean, I personally struggle with the idea of like doing any work. Doing work is probably the wrong way to put it, but like having a job or an income. Like I'm not always very comfortable with the concept of it. I'm not really comfortable doing it, and it's hard to, you know, and it feels like so much of that is always so surfacey. So that's an interesting spin that you're putting on it, or an interesting approach that you're having to it, where it's like a deeper connection or sort of like a more full or more true reflection of what's inside the person.
Yeah. I think giving yourself permission to be seen in your genius. I think historically we're afraid to do that because we stand out in the wrong way. We get kicked out of the tribe. You know, it's a survival instinct.
Yeah.
And we often think there's a red herring where we think we don't want to have a business, official business, or make money, or you know what I mean? Like we think we don't want to be visible because it's out of integrity mm-hmm. for us. When really what's happening, that's actually a story that we kick up to hide the fact that we're actually afraid to be seen. Yes. Because we're afraid to get kicked out of the tribe or someone to say, you're crazy. What the hell are you doing? What gives mm-hmm. you the right, you know? And ultimately, like, it's our job to give ourselves permission because we just deserve to do it. Like, that's our birthright, is to be expressed and to be fully realized and to thrive and to make money,
is,
you know, as thinking of money energetically versus just this consumer, this blind sure. consumerism.
Yeah, actually, you know? No, I think I've seen that theme more often these days, but also yeah, that,
I think it's
one of the things you're talking about there, I think tied back to something that we talked about right at the beginning, when we were talking about like the experience of moving to Portland and sort of like having
yeah.
All of a sudden, even passively, like the permission to sort of like be more of yeah. who we are since we weren't yeah. sticking out in the tribe anymore, right? Like, you come to right. Portland and your weirdness doesn't make you a thing that's going to be kicked out of the tribe as much. You could still do it.
Right.
You could still do it yeah. if you really wanted. But
yeah.
But that's totally. That's interesting. That's you sort of, I think, took that experience, and instead of just sort of relaxing into it, you explored it, and you're like, mm-hmm. "What does this actually mean?" And then you did. So that's right. That's impressive.
Yeah, thank you. I feel like that's just kind of what I've always done since I was a kid. That for whatever reason, my life experience made me kind of go, hey, wait, oh, you're saying that person is weird. They need to come over here. I'm going to show them that that's cool. You know?
Well, thank you for doing that.
And that's kind of the comment. Thank you. That's my thing. And I found a way to be safe in it. And I realized the key was just deciding that I believe in myself and I give myself permission. And when I started to do that, everything around me changed. I got less flack, mm-hmm. you know, because I just walk around like, this is how it's done. And so I try to do my best to model that for other people and influence them to believe they can do that too.
I like that message a lot. How can people find sure. find you and contact you about this, like on the web or whatever?
Yeah. So the Portland Tarot is theportlandtarot.com. I need to update that site. It's been up for a million years, but theportlandtarot.com. Don't forget the okay. at the beginning. And then Sovereign Oracle, if you go to sovereignoracle.com, and it's spelled SOVEREIGN, Sovereign. People have a little hard time with that sometimes. It forwards to my Indiegogo page where I'm still selling the deck from, because I had a successful campaign that let me continue okay. to sell the deck there, and it's the easiest way. So that is mm-hmm. on there. And then my business is sovereignspirit.biz. Okay. That's if you're interested in looking at the soul branding.
And component. I will put all of those links in the show notes. And those of you who are too lazy to look at the show notes are just going to have to figure out how to spell sovereign yourself.
Yeah, just look it up. And you can find me on Facebook okay. too. I have Facebook presence there. Just look for great. Me and I'm there.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This yeah. was great. I've been thinking about contacting you for so long because I've been so impressed with the Portland Tarot. And then when I went and looked at the stuff you were up to, I was like, well, this is going to be a more interesting conversation than I was expecting. And I was right.
Yeah, I know. We could have gone on for hours. I really enjoyed chatting with you, Eric. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you for listening to My Alchemical Bromance. You can find us on the web at myalchemicalbromance.com. You can find us on Stitcher and iTunes and YouTube and maybe Spotify. You can support us if you'd like to. In fact, we would love for you to support us through the Arnomancy Patreon. You can find a link in the show notes or on the website. It's patreon.com/Arnomancy for just $1 a month. Tune in next time, and I hope that you guys are having a wonderful holiday season. So relax, enjoy some time with your family, and we'll see you soon. Thank you.
Don't call me.